Edward Rushton was the radical, campaigning, blind poet of Liverpool. His life spanned the 18th and 19th centuries at the time of the slave trade, of revolution, and of social upheaval. Forgotten Hero, written by Bill Hunter and narrated by George Sefton, is his story.
Chapter 17. Rushton's Times, the Revolutionary Changes. Rushton's life spanned one of the most revolutionary periods in world history. By the time he died, the old feudal relations no longer dominated in the major European societies. Three revolutions of world-shaking consequences had provided a firm groundwork for a new capitalist world. The American Revolution, the French Revolution, and the Industrial Revolution in Britain. Moved by the first two, he saw them as great advances for human liberty. He never lost his conviction in these revolutions as strides in human progress, even though, in his forthright manner, he bitterly denounced Washington for owning slaves and opposed Bonaparte for usurping the French Revolution. He did not, however, believe that the task of correcting ugly deformities of these revolutions could be handed over to the old corrupt powers of Europe, as did the Lakeside poets who had sung their welcome to the storming of the Bastille. He deplored the loss of revolutionary republicanism of those who should be upholding the fire of English liberty. All around him in the latter half of his life would be the enormous changes brought by the Industrial Revolution. At the time he was born, the greater percentage of the British population lived in the countryside, with agriculture as the major occupation. Production in the principal industry, woolen and worsted stuffs, were scattered throughout the countryside, in cottages and small domestic workshops. In the towns, small-scale crafts were carried on mainly by groups of highly skilled handicrafts folk. In its earlier stages, even the cotton industry, which was to become the first urban industry, while it depended on water power, was largely located in villages or small towns, outside the great centres of population. When Rushton was born, the cotton industry was of less importance than the lead and copper trades, brewing, shipbuilding, and even textile trades such as linen, hosiery, and silk. Changes in feudal relations had already been taking place over hundreds of years with the increase of commerce and production for a market. There was, in particular, the growth of a prosperous wool industry, which was developed by a section of the aristocracy and more prosperous farmers, merchants, and bankers. For two centuries, the landowners had used the Enclosure Acts to take peasants' land and common land, which the common people used to graze their animals. The gentry found it profitable to enclose land to keep sheep as the woolen trade expanded. A popular verse of the time went,
"The law will hang the man or woman who steals the goose from off the common, but justice leaves the rich man loose who steals the common off the goose."
Large landlords, financiers, and merchants in the 17th and 18th centuries found the keeping of sheep and the selling of wool could expand their wealth. In the 18th century, new agricultural methods could be used on large areas of cultivation by seizing the holdings of the peasants and breaking down strip farming. The developing mining capitalists enclosed land as the progress of equipment in sinking shafts and pumping water meant that deeper mines could be sunk. Those opposing enclosure were declared, like the Luddites later, to be opposing progress. In Scotland, the families whose land was expropriated belonged to the same clan as the lord who evicted them and to whom they looked for protection. The great land robbery meant that, by the middle of the 19th century, as Marx wrote in Volume 1 of Capital, the mere memory of the connection of the land workers and communal property had faded away. Revolutions in Rushton's lifetime signify the beginning of a fundamental transformation, the destruction of old societies built on feudal relations. At the end of Rushton's life, the basis was being laid for Britain to become the workshop of the world. The changes had already gone far towards establishing a new modern working class and a new industrial capitalist class. The process was tumultuous, bloody, and brutal. In the last decades of Rushton's life, manufacturing factories had developed from the putting out system, where the merchants employed the craftsmen in their own homes and supplied the raw material of wool, cotton, silk, and metals, and sold the products, to factory production. Under the putting out system, the worker at work still had complete control over his labour process and was free to choose his pace and time of work. Marx described a century and a half of struggle to determine the working day, and portrayed the brutal transformation of workers from craftsmen working for themselves with their own means of production into factory workers. Impoverished and starving men, women and children in the countryside, robbed of the common lands by enclosure acts, were rounded up for the factories. Pauperized and made homeless, they were driven into the overcrowded cities. Marx wrote that the establishment of a normal working day is the outcome of centuries of struggle between capitalist and worker. The general working week at the beginning of this struggle was 4 days. By economic and legislative means, the old life of workers and their families was destroyed.